Hello and welcome to the Tortoise Shack. Today we're joined by Dirian Ansborough and we're going to be talking about the ICCL who have looked over the new legislation that was introduced by the government yesterday which passes through the Oireachtas today. Before we get going, just want to say Tortoise Shack is working very hard here. We were trying our best to keep going. We understand people are losing jobs, but we need more people to come on so that we can stay going. Please sign up to our Patreon. Tony, over to you, buddy.
Look, you're right, Martin. I'm off another call for this morning. Nothing else, and we're trying to keep the content going, lads. We need support. We understand it's a difficult time for everybody. But if you want independent broadcasts, you're going to have to support it, or it won't exist. It really won't. Poor mouthing. We're delighted by the people in the Irish Council of Civil Liberties are always holding up a mirror to society and what's going on and the implications of what we've been lucky to speak to them over the years, whether before Maeve moved on, and we've had people in and out of this, and this is no different. I understand it's an emergency. I understand this is a global pandemic. But Darren, you might explain to our listeners, first of all, what is this emergency legislation that is today going to the Seanad to pass?
Yes, certainly. It's basically an emergency piece of legislation, which essentially means that it's being rushed through the Dáil. So it was discussed by the Dáil yesterday. It was basically between 2:30. A very small amount of Dáil members were in the Dáil to comply with social distancing to basically approve a piece of legislation that the Minister for Health had put forward. And it's called the Health Preservation and Protection of Life Act. Mm. The idea is it actually has two parts to it. It has three parts, actually. The first part is about commencement, the administration aspects. The second part is about social welfare. So it's making changes to the Social Welfare Acts to increase the amount of people who can access social welfare during this difficult time. And the third part is the part that we're most concerned about. It has two aspects. And the first aspect is about amending an existing piece of law, which is called the Public Health Act, which dates back from 1947. And it gives the minister the power to make regulations or orders. And that means in the future, because this law is passed, he can do this without any approval from the Dáil, to ban events, require people to impose certain safeguards where they do organize events, restrict people's movement, allocate certain areas of the country as what he's calling affected areas, meaning that within those affected areas, he actually now has the power to get people to stay put, to stay in their homes, not to gather, and a range of powers like that. And then the second aspect is that the law is now, again, amending a power that already existed to an extent in this Public Health Act from 1947, but significantly expanding it to allow a medical officer to detain someone who they believe is a potential source of infection and who essentially won't self-isolate. So it's expanding significantly the powers of the minister to curb our rights to liberty, our rights to freedom of assembly, and our rights of free movement. I can say a lot about it. I'll just start by saying, we understand at the ICCL that actually this piece of legislation is necessary because of the grave risk to people's lives and to our health that this virus is posing, and because of the fact that the way it's transmitted is through human interaction. And most of us in this country understand that this is the situation. We've been told to engage in social distancing, we've been told to self-isolate if we're ill, and most of us will do that. But the reality is there are people out there who won't. And those people are the people who are going to be posing the biggest risk of infection. It's people who go out, meet each other, go back to, you know, their vulnerable populations in their homes, and other such things. So we do understand that there is a need for this legislation, but we really wanted to emphasize to the government, and I suppose to the public at large, that human rights law doesn't stop working essentially just because we're in a state of emergency. So like the protections that we have in the Constitution and in international human rights instruments still apply even in times of emergency. And what that means is that with these, even with these extensive powers that we understand are necessary to protect health and life, they still have to comply with certain principles. And those principles, in summary, are non-discrimination. People have to be treated equally, and they have to be used as little as possible in order to achieve the aim of protecting public health. So we can't have a situation where suddenly the minister is banning every single person from meeting anyone or banning every single gathering of any number of people. It has to be proportionate, which means it has to be the most limited interference with our rights that's possible. They're the key aspects that I think we did raise with the government, and I can go into a lot more detail, but I'll let you ask the questions.
You did work on a sunset clause that hadn't been included in the original legislation. Can you tell us about the sunset clause?
Absolutely. This was actually the most important element of what we put into our submission on Tuesday night. A sunset clause for emergency legislation is absolutely necessary because it means that these extraordinary powers, extraordinary measures that are taken in extraordinary times have a time limit. And this is really, really important because we've seen both in this country and elsewhere where emergency legislation is then used, it continues to be used to restrict rights even when the emergency is over. So in Ireland, we have the Offences Against the State Act and the Special Criminal Court. They were brought in at a time when, you know, there was a significant threat from paramilitary organizations. Mm-hmm. And, you know, essentially it was during the Troubles. And they allow for, you know, curbing the fair trial rights of people. And, you know, as we all know, we still have the Special Criminal Court. We still have this legislation on the book. So that's just an example of when something brought in that curbs rights during an emergency can last if it doesn't have a sunset clause. Other examples throughout the world, you know, we see lots of emergency counterterrorism legislation being brought in, which is now being used to curb the activities of civil society, to curb the activities of journalists, all in the name of consolidating power, you know, governmental power.
There was one there's a famous one, the anti-terrorist bill in India, which is still in force today. And then obviously, probably the most well-known is the Patriot Act in the US after 9/11, which was a temporary measure that never went away either, you know.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. And one of the key aspects of the Patriot Act is that it allows for extensive surveillance. Mm. And we're actually seeing that in a lot of other countries right now with COVID-19 emergency legislation, for example, in Israel and in China, where the government gave itself the power to basically watch its citizens. And that kind of thing is really, really dangerous. We would be opposed to it anyway. But if it's extended beyond the time of emergency, you're really talking about entering Orwellian territory of people just being watched every moment of every day, you know. So the good thing is, they did bring in a sunset clause yesterday. So a lot of the politicians who were in the Dáil, almost every single one raised this. And what it means is that initially in the bill, it allowed for extensions of these powers by order, which means that they could have been extended indefinitely, without ever having to go back before the Dáil for approval. There was a section that allowed for the Dáil to look at it after it had been made, but it allowed for a new order to be made without Dáil scrutiny. That's now been changed. It's the one significant amendment that was brought in. And it means that they do have a sunset clause. One of them, for the Social Welfare Acts, it's in 6 months. And for the Part 3, the restrictions on rights, it'll last until the 9th of November. And then the Dáil will have to pass a resolution approving any extension. So it's a long time, and they're very significant powers for the government to have during that time. But, you know, at ICCL, we're going to be monitoring their use. And we think that this is actually a really good thing that we've managed to convince them to put in this end clause, this sunset clause, before door scrutiny for the extension of powers.
It absolutely is a great thing. Sorry, Martin, if I could just come in, but I just want to outline to listeners what we mean by that surveillance. So for example, in other countries now where they're doing this, they can take your temperature. If you have a high temperature and they deem, or someone deems you to be symptomatic, they'll take your phone number, and then with using your phone number, they will then effectively tell you to self-isolate. And then by using tracking your phone to make sure you are self-isolating, and if you're not self-isolating, you can then be fined or punished in some sort of punitive action can be taken. All of that, you know, in the context of a global pandemic, people can say maybe that is actually, when you use the word proportionate, and I think that's very important. You know, if it's proportionate, given the threat to public health, and you're being reckless, and you're just some sort of maniac, you know, maybe that is proportionate. But we have to make sure that there's checks and balances put on these things, and that it's used in such a way as to the greater good, but actually phased out over time. I'm right in saying that, am I?
Yeah, I think you are absolutely right. I mean, you know, that idea of proportionality is about making sure that any measures taken are absolutely necessary, and they're only used in the most limited way possible. Hmm. So, for example, you know, this legislation, the Minister for Health actually said, you know, he hopes that none of these powers will have to be used. And it was great to hear him say that, because it means that they are trusting, you know, they're trusting the Irish population to do what we're being advised to do, and they'll only bring in these powers if they see that people aren't complying with the regulations, and that's a very good thing. Mm. And I think, you know, when it comes to that idea of extensive surveillance, you know, there's so many potential problems with it. But the idea that you would literally, you know, be requiring everyone in your country to submit to that kind of surveillance is extraordinary in terms of your own right to privacy, in terms of the potential for abuse of that information. I mean, it would make, you know, what Cambridge Analytica did look very basic. I mean, it's the, you know, the potential for misuse of your private information is just unbelievable. I read one article this morning, and the author was saying, you know, if you take that kind of surveillance to the end point, you know, where previously governments, you know, these kind of dictators, they wanted to know what your finger was touching, but now they want to know what's behind your finger, what's the temperature of your blood, what's this, you know, and that means that they'll ultimately potentially have access to your most private emotions. And then if you bring that to the next level, and you feel angry when he's making a speech, and then you're done for. You know, like that's how we have to think about these things. You have to bring them to their extreme, because that's where they lead, you know. So the best way to protect against that kind of thing happening is not to allow that kind of surveillance at all. And if you have to bring it in, you know, as minimally as possible, and only as you said, for maniacs. Maybe it's just for people who, you know, have repeatedly shown that they won't comply with the kind of normal behavior expected of society.
Am I right in saying that there's no right to appeal on any of these measures that are brought in? Am I correct about that?
There's no explicit right to appeal the measures taken in terms of restricting liberty, movement, and an assembly. In terms of whether you're detained, you have a right to a single review by another medical officer, but it's a very limited form of review. And it was quite a worrying aspect of this legislation, is that in the original Act, the 1947 Public Health Act, there actually is a right to appeal for people who are detained, but they actually decided not to apply that in this legislation. It may be that they expect there to be too many, but it was a really surprising aspect, and we recommend bringing in much more clear safeguards in terms of right to review, right to appeal, but unfortunately, they haven't brought those in. But I would say that, you know, I said at the outset, even in times of emergency, human rights law and standards do continue to apply. So, you know, the protections that are in our constitution, the protections that are in the human rights treaties do still apply, which means that anyone acting under these orders or exercising these powers still has to make sure that they're doing them in a necessary and proportionate manner.
And the ICCL has been very good over the years at safeguarding rights. You're happy with the proportionality in this, that it addresses the needs and also keeps enough people's rights together. Am I right in that?
Happy would be a strong word. I mean, we made a submission on Tuesday to the government and to a number of other political actors, and we had recommended really bringing in bringing in clearer language to safeguard rights, and we wanted to see words like necessity and proportionality throughout the bill, which aren't there now. And there's one or there's a couple of very specific things which we really would have liked to have seen. For example, the power to ban events and restrict movement. There's a list of examples of what the minister can do, and at the end of that section it says, and the minister can also do any kind of incidental things he thinks are either necessary or maybe expedient. Yes. And that kind of idea of like, it'll be convenient, so we'll do it. That we really, really recommended taking that out so that everything you did had to be necessary. So that's one flaw that remains. But hopefully, the exercise of that power will be limited. And another very key aspect would have been that idea of bringing in a clearer right of appeal for people who are detained. And there was some language in that we really thought could have been tightened up and strengthened to protect people from arbitrary detention, basically, such as at the moment, a medical officer can detain someone who he believes in good faith poses a potential risk of infection. And so we had said it should have been reasonable belief, which is the standard that the Gardaí have to have when they're arresting someone. And we also said it should be someone who is a probable source of infection, not a potential. And that's about sort of like restraining the use of the power. Mm. And they didn't introduce those aspects, disappointingly. But again, as I would say, we will be monitoring their use and hoping that anyone who does use that power, any medical officer, understands that they have to use it very, very sparingly.
Doreen, last thing for me, just in terms of the general public. Okay, so this is obviously unprecedented, as that word is now. There's two words that are getting overused at the moment. It's unprecedented, yeah, and existential. Everything is. But we need. But in this era, in 30 days' time, if we start to see lockdown phasing out and things like that, or the case numbers, are there ways that the public can call on the government to start bringing forward some of these things if we start to make progress, or should we just accept that we have to wait now till, I think you said, November 9th of November, yeah, to for these next things to come up for review?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a very good point. One of the amendments tabled last night was actually trying to get a very specific clause into the legislation saying that, where the threat is over, these powers automatically diminish. But I suppose there's a difficulty in defining exactly when the threat is over and how far, how long it might last. Maybe it subsides, maybe it comes back. So, I mean, I suppose the public in a democracy always has the right to lobby our government, and we certainly at ICCL will be lobbying the government to end the powers. I mean, the government itself always has the power to, change, or at the very least, not to exercise the powers it has. So we will be certainly campaigning and ensuring that they don't use powers inappropriately if the threat is over, or even while the threat is ongoing.
Well, thank you so much for putting all that hard work into going through this with a fine-tooth comb and doing your best to protect people and to protect a wider society, which is what we're trying to do now at the moment.
Exactly,
We're glad the ICCL exists, glad that you're there to do this for us, and thank you for all the work that you've been putting into it.
You're very welcome. Thank you very much for having me.
And just remind listeners, by the way, that ICCL relies on and the generosity of people as well, much as ourselves. You know, you can nip in, you can donate, you can support them. It's iccl.ie, guys. We need people keeping an eye on these things, because there's some people look at a crisis as an opportunity, and without the work of people like ICCL, we wouldn't be able to push back on some of that as well. So thanks very much for the work you guys do. Talk to you all soon. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.